You're listening to KPFA 94.1 and KPFB at 89.3 FM in Berkeley, with KFCF at 88.1 FM in Fresno, Califas. Yo soy El Gavilán Molina, cruising with La Onda Bajita's Radio del Barrio Aslan. Tonight, we take back La Noche, so open up your mentes to a truly unique experience in Radiolandia, where a new vision, a new citizen, and a new world where many worlds are posible. So cruise as we take it from rock to revolution, to ritmo hasta la resistencia con la voz del pueblo del sol. Aquí no más. Firme y más FM, we are La Onda Bajita's crew. We march, we protest, and we report. We are NPR Radio Comunitario. Órale, and we're coming at you live tonight from the mothership here in Basurclas. Tonight, La Onda has a feature, special presentation of ancient medicinal ways with a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. So keep it right here nomás as La Brava and David take it to the next level. Remember, this is Free Speech Radio, KPFA, on your Pacifica network.
And welcome, this is La Brava, and it's a real honor to be here. We are bringing you a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world, and my special guest host is David Kukula. He is a shiatsu master, a medicinal herbalist, author, and poet, and he brings 25 years of experience as a practitioner of traditional healing to his private practice, and now we'll be sharing his knowledge and wisdom with our listeners. He specializes in severe and chronic emotional and physical ailments. And the foundation of his healing practice was established in Japan at the Namikoshi Shiatsu College in the 80s. So welcome, David. I'm so glad to be here with you tonight.
Oh, it's wonderful seeing you again, La Brava. Hopefully we can do this more often. And again, as always, in our practices of traditional healing, we start all of our sacred circles with a prayer. And with that, we have with us Bruce Elijah, Oneida clan of the Iroquois Confederation, with us tonight. And he's going to give us an opening prayer. And then we're going to move on into the program where we're going to, later on, we're going to have an interview with Dennis Banks. We also have Akurandera Tea Valentino with us tonight. And also a wonderful musician, Marshall McKittrick, who's going to be also putting in some music into our ears and into our hearts on the solstice and as the days start getting longer. So in order to begin this wonderful program, we want to welcome all of you out there in Radio Land, those up north, south, east, and west from the four cardinal directions. Welcome to La Onda Bajita and the opening prayer from our dear brother, Bruce Elijah. Bruce, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, welcome, everyone, and say a few words in the language. Dane tunone niwa dani sline ne dratane hela tunisi na teso ne desu govine sungwa ediso ne gadi ne ya tewani sla dindi gong ne himbali wakilandadi gong dani di na te dingwa kwahadi ate sungwa tukalundi and sungwa ediso dane niyo taga nene gwa nigo. In the opening for this evening is that one of the things that we have is the teachings of the seven grandfathers. And always with that is that we teach our young people. And by starting from the young people, you kind of miss or avoid a lot of the problems that young people get into. And the first one of that is honesty. And the second one is love. And the third one is humility. And the fourth one is truth. And the fifth one is wisdom. And the sixth is respect. And the last one is bravery. If we use that in our language every day, you can pretty well live through your life avoiding all of the many problems that people are facing today. And so with that, that's always our reminder when we do our Thanksgiving address, and that those come first before anything else, before everything else. And reminding ourselves that each and every one of us has that responsibility to be able to touch base with what that meaning is and how we can incorporate that into our lives. And I see that with the young people, with the little ones, that we have a school where it's total immersion, and that's what our teaching is based on, is how to be able to live in those words that we just mentioned. And with that, you see the world in a different light, and the gratitude of everything of life is there. And it gives us a base, and it gives us even a chance to understand what the world is, the outside world is doing, and how it's going about. It brings peace to us that we can still do that of its original teachings, and that goes back to the beginning of time. And in our language, when we speak to each other, it's all of that, of what humility is and what the wisdom and the respect that we have of life. And I guess, and to be able to see the young ones say that and brave enough to say that, that they are part of this world, that they belong. And and speaking to the truth. Because those young ones, whether we like it or not, they know what the truth is. And they know what honesty is. And of course, they know what love is. Maybe they can't describe it to us in, you know, in telling us what that is, but they know what that is. And it goes back to the very things that any child looks for in life, and we spent the rest of our lives looking for all of those beautiful teachings. So we want to be able to, this evening, put our minds together as one. And acknowledge the Creator for those beautiful gifts that He has given us, that today we can practice that, and we should as much as what we can, to be able to recognize our own wants and needs, and also recognize the problems that we deal with every day. And hopefully that as we look at those teachings, is that can we incorporate that into our lives every day, and maybe several times a day, to remind ourselves that we belong. We belong in this beautiful creation. So that's what we do, as much as what we can. And that's why we take it to heart and really put some effort into preserving and maintaining our culture, our language, and how we fit into this world.
Well, that's really a wonderful teaching there, Bruce. And we're going to like to spend the rest of the evening tonight focusing on some of those seven ways of being in that good way. And we're also going to have Taya help us in expanding that conversation as we talk about honesty, love, humility, truth, wisdom, respect, and bravery. And so here's La Brava.
David, before we take a little music break, just real quick, let us know what is on the agenda for tonight.
Well, tonight we have a special guest, Dennis Banks. He's going to be on later on in the show here, and then also here with Taya Valentina. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about gratitude. And this is that time of year after the winter solstice, where we can start taking account within ourselves what we're grateful for. And so that's where we're headed.
Well, that's wonderful. So right now we have Marshall McKittrick in the studio, and he's going to give us some music.
Oh, the beauty of the earth, oh, the beauty of the skies, oh, the love which from our birth over and around us lies. To Great Spirit, come what may, I am grateful every day. For the ever-changing wheel, for the changing seasons flow, for the eternal spiral dance, how life's mystery makes it so. To Great Spirit, come what may, this I'm grateful every day. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light. To Great Spirit, come what may, I am grateful every day.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Marshall. So for those of you just tuning in, welcome back. This is La Brava, and we have a special traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. David, tell us about our next guest, Dennis Banks, what he is doing and what's going on right now.
Well, in one of our previous shows, Dennis was on and sharing with us that he was on that longest walk across the nation, raising awareness and educating the communities to diabetes and what can be done about it. And he was bringing his own personal experience with him. And as he finished that walk in July, we wanted to get him on the program then, but with his busy schedule, we finally caught up with him, or he caught up with us. And now he's going to, we have an interview with him, and he's going to share some of his words with us about what he saw and what he accomplished on that longest walk. And so here's an interview with our dear brother, Dennis Banks, co-founder of the American Indian Movement. Good evening, everybody. This is David Kukla at KPFA on La Onda Bajita. And we want to welcome all of you out there in Radio Land, you out there in Modesto, Santa Cruz, up north Santa Rosa. We're here tonight again talking about the Traditional Healers Program for the Four Corners of the World. And this program, you know, is brought on La Onda every 3 months. And we talk about traditional healing and the importance it has for not only for our well-being for ourselves, but also for our children our grandchildren, and so that we can walk in that good way, so that we can have that good mind, have that good heart, have that good body. Tonight, I got my longtime friend, brother, comrade, just this past summer, the longest walk across the United States, in his commitment to help his people with an epidemic that's been covering not only the Turtle Island, but North and South also. And that epidemic has been diabetes, the sugar disease. Dennis, we got you one of our first programs, and you were just beginning the walk, and then now we're so pleased to have you back so you can tell us a little bit of what you experienced and how you were met there in your communities and what you learned from it. Welcome, Dennis.
Oh, thank you very much, David. Yes, the walk started off February 14th, ended up July 7th up in Washington, D.C. Well, I'm a diabetic first. I have to tell you that. And I was very concerned about diabetes. If you don't have diabetes, it's not an issue for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really started to learn all what there was to do to help people who had it. What do you do? I don't know what, you know, do you take pills for it? When I was struck down with it, then I realized that I had to learn all there was about diabetes. So I just started reading and reading and reading. I was in the hospital, and then I went to a reversing diabetes. Well, first of all, I had a heart attack. That's what brought it on, was the diabetes in me. Then when I was suffering through that and I started learning about diabetes, I realized that there was a program on reversing diabetes, because I know that if you have diabetes, you're liable to, you're very susceptible to going. Your health is very dangerous, and you might end up on dialysis machines. Once you have dialysis, then you know your kidneys are gone, and it's a matter of time. And people who are on dialysis, to me, I've learned their lifespan is about 5 years once they begin on dialysis, because then things are going spiraling downhill very, very fast. If you don't change, no, I want to say that, if you don't change your habit, if you don't change your eating habits, if you don't change your what you're doing with your health, if you don't do any exercise, then it's less than 5 years. But if you suddenly are on it and you realize you've got to do something to change your diet to live longer, you got to start eating good foods. You got to throw away all that fried foods and candies and the sweetnesses. The diabetes can will thrive in a what they call an acidic environment, so it thrives in it. But if you have an alkaline environment, a lot of fresh vegetables, greens, the more greens, the better your system becomes, called the alkaline environment. It won't thrive in there. It just will not thrive, and it'll just die a slow death. So if there are cancer or diabetes, you know, trying to take over, your pancreas is in good shape. Your kidneys are in good shape, so there was absolutely no chance of diabetes coming into your system. It's not something you catch, something that grows inside of you. If you don't take care of your health, if you're just bombarding yourself with a lot of foods, sugary foods,
processed foods.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was given 9 kinds of pills by the time I got out of the hospital. 2 are for the heart. The 9 kinds were just all kinds of blood pressure, this and that. I went to this reversing diabetes program, and the first thing they did was put on a juice fast. Nothing but vegetables, 9 kinds of vegetables, including dandelion. When I entered there, it was a 3-week program. When I entered, my glucose was 405. And then the first week of nothing but having juice for breakfast, juice for lunch, juice for dinner, this all the way for 7 days, my glucose came down from 400 to 95. And that's where I maintained that it gets spiked every now and to about 120, maybe 130. I keep it down low. I do a lot of walking. I do a lot of, make sure I have fresh vegetables around. Even when I'm traveling, I go in there and I don't go for the chips and stuff. I go in there and I go to grocery stores. Pick up some cucumbers, some celery, some carrots, stuff like that, and I make myself little baggies. So those are my snacks from now on. So.
That's great. You brought up the issue of alkalinity, and I know in my work and the years that I've had my clinics that alkalinity has always been a big hallmark for those of us who are working towards wellness, and that alkalinity, as you brought up, is also very key in the diabetes. The other thing that I found interesting, too, is that there's other things, other kinds of foods that also alkalize the body. And when I say foods, I tell everybody, everything here is a food. Everything here is a medicine. People you meet today, there's some medicine there for you, wherever you go. And so that we know that also that exercise, you mentioned walking.
Yep.
We know that walking is one of the best alkalizers in the body, exercise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I found it very symbolic that you would use the longest walk as that form of exercise as not only an alkalizer of the body, but also to bring everyone's attention, that mental capacity to understand that it's our lifestyles that creates acid condition. And so when we talk about acidity, we're talking about making sure that the water we drink is clean and pure. Mm-hmm. We're talking about acidity. Yep. It's like acid thoughts, you know, those negative thoughts, right? Making sure that you clean those thoughts up so that you're thinking in that good way. And I know that, you know, you're long, you know, been in the sweat lodge and a sun dancer, that you've used ceremonies on alkaline to alkalize the whole being. And
yep.
So and so as you went across Turtle Island here to the different communities, how were you received there, and what was the response from those peoples that have been making this transition into a better way of life?
That was one of the things that I found along. I went through 72 reservations and communities and villages along the way. I targeted, you know, my route. I would go through a lot Indian country, a lot of Indian country. And IHS is saying that there are 12 to 15% of our people are diabetic. As I walked through, I began to kind of question that. And then as I found tribes where there's 95% of the tribes are diabetic, 100% in one tribe, others 80%, 40%, 60%. I now believe, mm-hmm. after going through all of them, the percentage of our people that have diabetes is more like 50 to 60%. Mm-hmm. And the red flags should be flying. Those antennas should be going up in the air. It's epidemic. It is ruining. It is ruining the quality of our health. And, you know, there's no quality of our health. Once you have diabetes and you start going downhill, it's just, mm-hmm. you know, you're not thinking about going to the problems anymore. You're thinking about going to the dialysis. You're thinking about going to the hospital. You got to check your blood, make sure that, you know, that you're close to the hospital at all times. It just, you know, your quality of your life is just zero then. It just so...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's when you start missing important ceremonies because of your blood sugar, then you know that something is terribly wrong, and it will get you. And that's the sadness about it. So another thing too is that, like my friend Russell Means, mm-hmm. he had thyroid cancer, and this is a very, very unusual story. This happened within the last 4 or 5 months. He was at UCLA Medical Center. They diagnosed him with thyroid cancer. He had a big, almost like a big golf ball lump, mm-hmm. in his throat. They said they were going to recommending surgery, but they'd have to take part of his voice box and also his tongue back there.
Jeez.
And he said, nope, I'm not going to do that. He says, I'm going to find my own medicine. He went to a medicine man in Kenora, Canada, mm-hmm. who recommended some tea, some swamp tea for him.
Mm-hmm.
Told him to take it, you know, hot in the evening and in the morning time, and then twice during the day. And he did it. I visited him when he was talking like this. And so then, finally, when they said he had 60 to 90 days to live, called him up, Russ, and said, Russ, I said, I'm going to come visit you. And he says, come on, DJ. He was like, come on, DJ, come on, visit. So I went to visit him, and mm-hmm. he'd been taking that thing now for 30 days, 60 days. And towards the end of our visit, he was talking like this. He said, oh, man.
Getting better.
And then just 8 days ago, he got the full clearance from the medical doctors. They said, we don't know what you did, Russ, but we can't detect mm-hmm. any more cancer in you.
No, that's a wonderful story. Again,
sure.
Out there in Radioland, you have with us Dennis Banks, one of the co-founders, leaders of the American Indian Movement. Just so honored to have him here. We want to say a big thank you to our brother here for his lifelong commitment to educating, for the walking for human justice for his people and for all the people of the world. Big hug to you, Brother Dennis, and big thank you that you've committed your life to this good road, to the high road,
mm-hmm.
and the influence you've had on so many people. You know, I want you to know that we appreciate you, and we want you to take care of that health in that good way, and I'm looking forward to seeing you here.
You know, my heart is still healing. And I'm having a little bit of problems. As I said, I will not die of diabetes, but my heart may give out. But I'm not gonna give up anytime. I'm gonna keep going forward. You know. So, and I think that our natural medicines—that's the answer. It's key. Well, of course, exercise, mm-hmm. and real good nutritional eating. But I also think our medicines, the traditional medicines, herbal medicines, the medicinal plants, those are very key in keeping us going. And I think that's what we should be starting to do. I wish I would have learned and or been. I wish I'd really learn learned all this stuff when I was younger. I would have had, maybe I would have been on this path a lot earlier about good health.
Right, and that's one of the key missions here on La Honda Bajita on the Traditional Healers Forum from the Four Corners of the World is to bring this old medicine back to the forefront. Bring it back to the forefront where we can sit in our communities and bring back these medicines that heal the body, don't damage with side effects, all this modern pharmaceutical. And so we're just real tickled here. So that we'd like you to now just take a minute here, Dennis, and you've been walking for years and now you got another walk coming up. Could you share a little bit with us on what this walk's about?
This walk is a humanitarian walk. It's to raise attention to the length of time of that Leonard Peltier has been in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people in the movement, we've read the transcripts, we know those in the movement know he's innocent, but for those people that have been on the peripheral edges, they've been reading about Leonard, they now know that, you know, that the Ninth Circuit questioned the attorneys who prosecuted him. And what's the meaning of this? You said 16 years ago that he was the shooter. Now you come up here and saying that he was not the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't, you know, who killed Leonard Peltier? They asked the prosecutor, and they said, Your Honor, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought for sure that Peltier would be freed, but because of some technicality, he still is in prison. 33 and a half plus years, more than any other. He has done the standard rate of what is a life sentence. The sentencing guidelines say it's 17 years, 8 months, and 23 days. That's a life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
He has done twice that amount. And plus, he's got 4 years of good time.
Mm-hmm.
4 years of good time. That should be when he was 31 years in prison, they should have let him go. On both counts, that the Ninth Circuit's, you know, asked the prosecution, you know, who killed him, who killed the agent. They said, now we don't know who killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that alone. And we've been saying he's been innocent all these years.
Again, we want to remind all of you out there that as traditional healers, as traditional medicine, when we talk about healing, we talk about the body, the mind, the heart, the spirit. We also have another medicine wheel that's called self, family, community, and nation. And so that the healing hits all these four cardinal directions. And what our brother Dennis is doing is he's walking for our brother Leonard in the sense of the nation, of reclaiming the nation, reclaiming our communities. And so that we all have to remember it's not just the carrots you eat, but it's also how you walk the walk. And so with that, I want to thank you. Thank you, brother Dennis, for taking time again for being with us.
Thank you. Okay. So long. Goodbye.
Welcome back. We have just listened to Dennis Banks. He's an activist, a teacher, a freedom walker, and one of the co-founders of the American Indian Movement. It was very good to hear what he had to say, and he's done a lot of work trying to help the people stay sober and healthy and, you know, have their sovereignty. So, David, we would like to talk a little bit about gratitude, and I would like to know, why is gratitude so important in traditional healing?
Many times when we begin that walk towards healing ourselves, many times we just look at maybe those things that aren't working within ourselves. And so then the focus becomes on that wounded side, that dark side of ourselves. And a lot of times what I've seen with people is what I say, they set up camp there. And some say get stuck. And so it becomes a dark world for them. And so somewhere in that process, in that recovery, in that healing, we always want to remind everyone on that journey that you're holding two cups. And one of those cups is maybe on the dark side and the other one's on the light side. And that we have to, in that process, balance those two energies, those positive and negative energies. And they're both necessary and adequate. They feed each other. And so that it's about being able to embrace both of those. And so usually in the beginning of that healing process, the first step is to walking into that part that you don't know about yourself. Usually that's the dark side. It's that part that you have no relationship to. And so, again, that's sort of an initiatory step. And then through that process, then we say you walk through the darkness into the light. And so with that, I have a dear friend, sister of mine, sitting next to me, and I want to bring her into this discussion at this point, and Taya Valentina. And before we continue into that, maybe, Taya, just tell us a little bit about you and the work that you do, and hello.
Hi, I'd be happy to. It's a pleasure to be back. And the work that I do in the world, in Marin and in the Bay Area, is based on this foundation of gratitude, in that we show up every day and there's a sense of prayer, and it doesn't matter what tradition or religion you are, or no religion, but that there's a sense of feeling that this is a gift to be in body, and to find that gift means sometimes shifting how we see the world, and we do that with each other, and we do that with soulfulness and a warmth of heart, and it's a will. There's a sense of activating one's will every day. And so you may wake up and not feeling so great, but then having almost a sense of protocol. You know, we learn to brush our teeth. We learn to maybe floss. Mm-hmm. You know, these things. And then, but having a sense of protocol of, okay, I'm, you know, as I was hearing the prayers earlier, just feeling the place where I misspoke, you know, a couple days ago with my own mother, as I was feeling my lineage of the mestizo in me, and this place of Peruvian, and where my mother came, and how I went to visit her, and we had some places I misspoke, and being able to feel that warmth in that, and that pressure in my heart. And knowing I could do something about that, and that's the will, the ability to go, okay, let's make it right. Mm-hmm. And then there's a sense of something lifting off my shoulders and feeling grateful for that ability to feel and be in body. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm just coming from my own experience that I know I need to make something right because I have the ability to do that. I need to not wait for assuming someone else has the ability to do something. I know within myself.
And so we're talking about taking responsibility, that self-responsibility. And somewhere in that protocol, what we find in our healing ceremonies or in that healing journey, we talk about the need to remember the ancestors.
Hope.
The need to remember where we came from. My lineage being Sami, the reindeer people, the children of the wind and sun. And remembering that I'm standing on their shoulders. And so that each morning, the gratitude, if we come back to gratitude, it's about me getting up with that sunrise, getting up with that early morning as the day breaks, as those morning birds are singing our eldest brother, the sun, awake as he comes, you know, as he comes over that horizon, bringing in the teachings. I'm standing there with my prayers, remembering my people and saying thank you as part of the journey. And so again, back to that remembering, back to what is it that I can do? Where do I belong? It's again remembering that in that gratitude, we have to practice. We have to have that protocol that Taya was talking about. And they don't need to be complex, and each one can create their own, because we all have our own unique way. We say in some of our teachings that each one of us, you know, is born with a special gift. Each one of us came here for a specific reason, and each one of us is carrying that gift within us. And not only are we carrying that gift within us, but we're also carrying the divine masculine and divine feminine. we got within each one of us. We're carrying both those energies. We're carrying that fire, that sacred fire, and that sacred water. And how are those two elements within ourselves? Where are they? How can I each morning wake up and welcome that element within myself? And so this is sort of a beginning into that direction of gratitude. And how is gratitude, or why is gratitude so important for us? In the beginning stage, again, we say, with the ancestors, with the ancient ones, with those who came before us, because again, that's who we are. It's in our bones, and that's what we're passing on to our children. So with that, a special gratitude to all of you out there who are listening, to the ancestors and to those peoples and tribes that you have come from. And we hope that they're all in a good way.
Thank you. I think it's very important. I don't think we do count our blessings, and I do feel like if we don't appreciate what is good in our life, that we will lose it in some way. So before we continue on for the next part of our program, would you like to have a little music break with Marshall?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Changes in the weather, changes in my mind, changes in the clothes I wear, it happens all the time. Changes in opinions, changes in beliefs, changes in my judgments, I need some relief. No change in the truth, no change in the truth, no change in the truth, no change in the truth. Changes in the market, changes in the air, changes in the street outside, it happens everywhere. Changes in appearance, changes in my heart, changes coming by and by, a whole new chance to start. Changes, changes, you know that change is on the way. What will you do with life today? You might hold tight and dig in your heels. You choose how much of joy you feel. No change in the truth, no change in the truth, no change in the truth, no change in the truth. Changes in emotions, changes in my thoughts, changes in my actions, even as I talk. Changes in the light, changes in the dark, changes in the seasons while the trees grow in the park. No change in the truth, no change in the truth, no change in the truth, no change in the truth. Oh, no change in the truth, no, no, no change in the truth, no change in the truth, no change. No change, no change in the truth.
All right. Marshall McKittrick, thank you so much for that song. For those of you just tuning in, this is La Brava with a special edition of A Traditional Healers Forum from the Four Corners of the World. And my guest host is David Kukula, and we were talking a little bit about gratitude before the break.
Yeah, and we wanted to bring that in this time of year because it's that time of year when we've come through the winter solstice, and now the days are getting lighter, and there's that transition, and there's that transition. And so a part of what I wanted to sort of spin the table with Taya about tonight is the how gratitude feeds the soul. And it sort of comes at a time where we have to I look at the Occupy Wall Street movement, and the word occupy stands out for me, and how many of us are occupying our soul and is not that what we are all starving from? Is that not the plague that is not that's here? And is that not what our young people are saying in the streets? Occupy. And so let's take a ride in that direction, all of you, and see if you can open your hearts, open your minds, occupy your soul for a few minutes as we take that journey with Taya.
Thank you for that introduction of occupying one's soul. And like you mentioned, everyone needs to find their way of what even that means, because that word may conjure up different things for different people. But perhaps feel into that there's a warmth quality to it, and that there's that the darkness that you spoke about earlier is such a necessity, because that's where things are birthed from. We are born in darkness in the womb. It is dark. It is rich. We plant the seeds. It is dark in that earth, and it is rich. And so to me, it's like we don't always have to seek the light. And I'm not saying booga wooga. I'm saying like deep in our heart depth, connection, and taking little moments of time and space, you know, when we are doing our day-to-day interactions and slowing things down, kind of like there's that heartbeat. Right now that heartbeat is pretty fast in that background music and beautiful, and yet that drumbeat can also be slow and steady and grounded in our feet. And so there's something about that, and it also is connected to our physiology and how then our adrenals are affected, and then how we perceive the world and how our health is affected. So there's something in how we can take these moments of soulfulness. So I'm attending right now to not just the theme of gratitude, but you spoke about healing and soulfulness. And, you know, I was at the store today purchasing an item, and there was a long, long line. And there was some background music there, and one of the persons next to me checking out someone else started to sing. And I started to sing and hum underneath her. And we just slowed down and was enjoying the moment, trying to send that through the line. Because, you know, that's like how that daily art. And I pray to be reminded by other people, you know, when I have that frown line in my face and I'm speeding up and I've forgotten. You know, in that forgetting, there's opportunity to be reminded. You know, coming here tonight was a great reminder. Mm-hmm. It was great. So how can we find gratitude? Is in that moment when that warm or cool air comes in through our nostrils. And we breathe that in and then drop it down the spine.
Beautiful.
There.
So, yeah, let's hum in those long lines. Oh, boy.
And laugh, you know, yeah. And connect with each other's eyes. And little moments when a mama is just, she's tearing her hair out because the baby's crying and she's trying to get things done. You know, just a little, like, connection there, here and there.
And so in that, we want to remember that in the practice of gratitude, maybe it's possible that we can understand that our body lives in our soul. Our soul doesn't live in our body. And so when our bodies live in our soul, there is the initial gratitude of thanking that soul for carrying me now here, what, these 63 years, and how it's been patient with me, how it's been forgiving, how it's been acknowledging, how it's been telling me it's okay. And powerful medicine. So if each one of us could for a moment just realize we're living in our souls, our body is living in the soul. So I don't see the soul as really a place. It's a sense. And in that sense of soulfulness, when I can acknowledge that part of me, I get that feeling, and I can only describe it to you more as a feeling of a sense of peacefulness, if you will, a sense of everything's okay. It's a sort of a sense of I'm on my path. I'm doing the work that I'm supposed to be doing here, and such deep gratitude that I've been given this short time in history, these 63 years, to see that sunrise each morning, seeing these beautiful faces in the circle here at this KPFA. My granddaughter sending me a little video, her playing her first Christmas song, and there's music to my ears. So let us all sing. Let us sing to our souls.
That's very profound. David, do you feel that people who take the time every day to find something to be grateful for, do you feel like they're nourishing themselves more than people who only dwell on the negative?
For some unknown reason to myself, maybe somebody else here knows the reason, but it seems like we, in this modern culture, were raised in lack. And in that emptiness of lack, which the Occupy movement is addressing, in this great lack, there's a conditioning that as I grow, I feel that lack, not understanding it. And then as I get older, if I still avoid maybe that sense, then I say, I'm going to get me a job, make a lot of money. And so then comes that glorification of monetary value. Economics is not going to solve the problem of our economic dilemma we're living in. If we as human beings can start connecting with each other, if we can start showing appreciation and some deep gratitude for each other, in spite of our differences, in spite of what socioeconomic class you live in, color, which church you go to, if we can start looking into each other's eyes, knowing that somewhere within that, you are walking in your soul. And thank you, sister, for being here. Thank you for bringing your gift. Thank you for sharing your medicine. That shine in your eyes, that smile on your face. Thank you.
How do you think that we can begin with our young children to have them know gratitude more than lack?
For myself, I've been blessed with having grandchildren.
It is a blessing.
And I say that in many ways. One, I can correct a lot of the mistakes I've made with my children. And there's something that happens with age. Those of us who are blessed to live a longer life, that age has a way of life seeping into your bones. And somewhere in there, you're starting to sense the values. What are my values? What are my priorities? And with that, as our grandchildren are starting to come forward, as our children are coming forward, what I've done for myself is I make it a point to acknowledge them. And that acknowledgement, I believe, is the beginning of healing. I have great relationships. I mentor young men. And I always welcome them and see the gift that they carry. And so I believe that in our willingness
to welcome the youth, acknowledge them, and have our hearts and ears open to try to understand the language that they're speaking. It may not be the same language that you were raised with, because it's a new generation. And they're bringing new vision. They're bringing new ideas. They're bringing their imagination that we do not have. And so in the welcoming of the youth and bringing them in, rubbing shoulders and letting them know that they're born with a purpose in life.
That's very important. I feel that young people are overwhelmed by technology and they have not gotten the opportunity to develop their creative, intuitive side.
And absolutely, and that hands-on. I just this past 3 months, I've been working on my old beat-up 87 Toyota pickup for my grandson. And the reason I love that old pickup is because he can change the spark plugs in it. He can change the oil in it. He can time it. If it breaks down, he can fix it. And there's power. There's power in self-reliance. There's power in independence. There's power in knowing that you can take care of yourself and that it's not just something out there that's going to keep me alive. And not only is there power out there, but also in our youth, as they have this technological world surrounding them and them raised up in, they're also, it's interesting because I just took the cell phone away from my grandson.
He was upset, huh?
Yeah, he went into a mini breakdown. And he'd been shooting the emails off the hook to me the past, 24 hours, wondering when he's going to get back. And I said to him, you first tell me the four things that you've learned of why you don't have it. Then we'll go from there.
Yes, that's it's hard with our youth today. We would like to continue this discussion, but I think we need to take a little musical break. Are you there, Marshall? Are you ready to give us another one of your songs?
Just because a friend doesn't call, don't build a wall. Tell them how you feel. Just because your wife doesn't change, don't go to blame. It isn't real. Assumptions make a fool out of you, out of me. And stories make the truth hard to see. Surrender illusion, let go of the fear. Life is easy and clear. Living life is easy and clear. Just because that clerk didn't smile, don't put him on trial, 'cause you never know. Just because your kid gave you a look, don't throw the book. Just let it go. Assumptions make a fool out of you, out of me. And stories make the truth hard to see. Surrender illusion, let go of the fear. Life is easy and clear. Living life is easy and clear. Living like each day is our last. Let go of the past. Makes us brand new. Loving is what makes us all kind. Giving us peace of mind. You know it's true. Assumptions make a fool out of you, out of me. And stories make the truth hard to see. Surrender illusion, let go of the fear. Life is easy and clear. Living life is easy and clear. living life is easy and clear.
Oh, thank you so much. That was a beautiful song. I like the words, what they said about trying to understand without necessarily judging. I think that's a part of what's going to help us as human beings. Mm-hmm. So, David, our listeners who have just tuned in are, they are not necessarily in the discussion, but we've been talking for them. We'll update them. We've been talking about gratitude as part of our healing. And so you and Taya are going to continue this discussion about gratitude, healing, and soulful living.
Mm. Thank you, La Brava. Again, such a pleasure to be here with Taya Valentina. And healing is such a big, vast territory. It's such a big landscape and encompasses so many things. There's the physical, that's the body. There's the emotional, the feelings, the emotional. There's the spirit. And that being what we call the invisible world. And then there's the mind. And the mind is that part of how we think. And there's ways and there's different methods in which we can support each one of those four cardinal directions. And so when we talk about healing, we're looking at all those arenas, and we want to be able to look within ourselves. And if we look at them in a circle, we can sort of say, okay, if I draw a circle and I put the body, mind, heart, spirit, and that's, you know, on the four directions, four quarters, I can start with it maybe in my morning when I meet that sunrise and when I say that thank you prayer. How am I doing with my body? Maybe I need to drink a little more water. We can go into our minds and we can say, geez, you know, I've just been, you know, thinking bad thoughts about somebody for a long time. And you know what? Enough's enough. You know, it's, what am I getting out of it? And then we can go to our heart and we can look at our feelings. We can, in that morning prayer, we can sort of just sit there and check our feelings.
So you're saying that for anybody, not necessarily somebody who has extra gifts and skills, anybody can wake up every day and kind of do a little monitoring of themselves, not just their body, but their mind, their spirit. Mm-hmm. And every day is an opportunity to make adjustments.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It sounds very simple, but it's also very profound. And I do believe that the simple things are the things that are going to help us through all this.
I believe, you know, Taya, she coined the word protocol. And what we have to, I suppose, one of the hardest lessons we all have to learn is that as we go into being 21 and adults, supposedly, that it requires some responsibility. And to live a healthy, prosperous, just a good life, you need to take responsibility. That happiness just doesn't happen. That you can actually make choices that will support you feeling better about yourself. And therein lies happiness.
I'd like to just chime in there, and when you said responsibility, and I love to just feel what a word is, and and it's that, you know, ability to respond. And a lot of times we don't believe in ourselves. We don't feel we have the ability to respond because of negative self-talk or maybe what we've allowed to come in and then believe about ourselves. And that ability to respond is something that has to be activated in our will, and it's something that is to be practiced every day. until it becomes a part of ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it becomes habit, mm-hmm. a positive habit, something that then becomes something that feels like it's part of our own skin. And for a while, it may not. Mm-hmm. You know, it may mean waking up. And, you know, anyone that's recovered from any addiction will know that. But, you know, there's the physical addiction, then there's, like you mentioned, the addiction of thought, of negative mm-hmm. thought.
Mm-hmm. It is addicting. I know people that are just...
It's, mm-hmm. and yet change. We don't want to be Pollyanna and think, you know, everything is just flow and everything is just flow, you know. Yeah. What does it really mean to have that grateful heart?
Mm-hmm. Heartfelt gratitude.
Yeah. And still, you know, to be grateful and yet that edge walking of then feeling, sometimes not feeling so great and not feeling grateful mm-hmm. and being able to voice that and being able to then open to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the contrast in my own example of feeling that place where I wasn't in full integrity with how I was with my own mama, you know, mm-hmm. and how sitting with her and not being fully sympathetic or patient and not, you know, holding that healing space that I've been trained to hold. So there's a sense of then being able to reflect and say, wow, now I can respond in a new way. I can change this. I have the responsibility to do it.
Hmm.
I have the ability to respond mm-hmm. and make a change. I'm not sure how I'm going to go about doing that. Mm-hmm. One would be connection and also feeling the gratitude of the lineage that I've come from. And seeing how her struggle and her story and her coming here has given me more opportunity
mm-hmm.
that she did not have.
Mm.
Do you find when you're talking with your mother to go back and become the little girl? Because I find when I speak to my mother, I've lost all my self-esteem and my independence and my trust in my own ideas and my life. And so I'm wondering if that is something that you find is a common experience.
Well, there's the place in me that's been trained in the different, you know, places I've been a mentee and have studied in different traditional healing methods, which is I arrive and I'm honoring that hereditary stream and that lineage. And yet when I see her suffering, of course, I want to fix it. I want to, you know, want it to be my way or the highway sometimes.
This is your mother.
And so, I get a little brava. I get a little brazen. I get a little edgy. That's my way of wanting to then take control to make things better. I tend to then want to take charge. Mm. So I think we all have our ways and how I want to. And yet in that, it's like two sticks rubbing up against each other in mm-hmm. our particular lineage dynamic of two fires.
Mm.
And so I want to use that fire for soulfulness and feeling that sense of, wow, there's so much heat and fire here, Mama. You know, blessings on our ancestors, blessings on all that there is. I want to accept her fully and embrace her exactly where she is. And me being in present time, because I want to be in the center of that wheel
mm-hmm.
in all directions.
Mm-hmm.
East,
wonderful.
New beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're in winter. And in the way I look at the wheel,
mm-hmm.
it would be that we're in the north. We're in that cave. Mm-hmm. We're in the brown bear. I want to bring warmth. Mm-hmm. I don't want to bring that sharp, edgy judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pray that out to, you know, all the women out there and all the relationships and all the mothers and daughters and grandmothers that mm-hmm. during these holiday seasons, mm-hmm. you know, let's all share how we cook together and how mm-hmm. we look at life together. And
for our brothers out there, it's time to rekindle that sacred fire so that we too, as
as sacred men that carry that great fire energy, that we can use that fire in that good way to keep our villages warm, our children warm, and protect our women. So let us both, as sacred men and sacred women, come together at this beautiful time of year.
We would like to continue this discussion, but I think we need a break. I would love to hear some more music. Marshall, are you ready?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Wake up slow, greet the day. Open my eyes and my mouth to pray. Walk outside, meet the haze. Keep looking out, cause it's a brand new day. Brand new day, brand new way. Make it real, escape the gray. Take the time and let shadows fall away. Don't you care what they say? Know the truth, and it's a brand new day. Brand new day, brand new way. And when you wonder who you are, can't seem to make it all be clear, just let it go and give it up. Unwind your mind and get unstuck. Open your heart and it's a brand new day. Anytime you feel low, fix your gaze, let your deeper power flow. Tap the source and let it play. Shake it off, cause it's a brand new day. Brand new day, brand new day, brand new day, brand new day, brand new day.
Oh, thank you, Marshall. That's Marshall McKittrick with his, you've written these songs?
Most of them.
Yes.
Except for the first one.
And we are here with David Kukula, and we are doing a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. We have been talking about gratitude and soulful living and using our training to take our relationships into a better place. So, David, mm-hmm. let's continue our discussion. We have Thea Valentina also in the house.
Thank you very much, La Brava. And we've been talking this last hour and a half on gratitude, and we had Bruce Elijah, Oneida Clan of the Iroquois Confederation, coming in with that opening prayer and speaking to us about the seven grandfathers and the seven teachings of honesty, love, humility, truth, wisdom, respect, and bravery. And how, if each and every one of us, if we can do a check-in and ask ourselves each morning at sunrise or any time during the day, how am I with those? And where am I slacking? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? Because we all have them. And there's no judgment in it. It's just like, oh, you know what? Okay, I'm going to be a little more humble today.
Do I have to be? Just kidding. I do find that a lot of times, sometimes just a kind word is enough to really help somebody on their way.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? No, there's truth. And that, so we had those wonderful words from Bruce, and then we had our dear brother Dennis Banks and giving us, an accounting of his long walk and his gratitude for life and the way that he shares that with his communities. And so that each and every one of us, I think what we're trying to say here tonight is that all of us are special. There's a there's a specialness in each and every one of us and a divine purpose. I call it divine because I believe each and every one of us has come here to contribute to this life, not only to ourselves, but to our families, to our communities, and to our nation, to occupy it. We're to occupy this space in those seven sacred ways. And can we bring that forward? Can we teach that to our children? And in that practice of gratitude, of thanking creation for giving me another day here, I'm starting to adjust that balance of trade, if you will. I remember about 15 years ago when Bruce and I were working together down in New Mexico on some, doing some healing retreats, and I was sitting next to him, and I was just thinking to myself, man, how can I feel the gratitude that man feels? Because honestly, I didn't. You know, I felt sad. I was like, man, I was like, sheesh. And I mean, you know, and I mean, you know, I've been doing ceremonies, I've been doing the work, but man, I'm still not there. You know, and it's almost a sense of, am I ever going to be there? Or is it just some kind of make-believe story? And then Bruce says, Bruce, how do you be in that good way all the time? I said, my goodness. And he says, well, David, he says, it's been a long journey for me too. But I'm conscious of which energy I feed.
Oh.
And he says, there comes a point when you say them gratitude prayers for long enough, and each and every one of us got our own journey, and I can't tell you when that day's going to come. Sometimes I call it earning the grace of God. Mm-hmm. But so there comes a day when you continue those gratitude prayers and that thankfulness that something happens. And all I can tell you is that you start feeling happy. Happiness is the reward. But I don't know any other way. And so that in that gratitude, let us all remember that let us start seeing the goodness in life too.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's start seeing all that we do have. And I always tell people, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be a small one. It can be that little smile on your face. And each day when I go home at night, I can remember that, you know what, I saw that smile in that La Brava's face today. Wow, thank you.
Right?
And a big thank you.
Well, what would you say if you had a client that was in a really dark space and I really, at the time, just could not find anything to be grateful for? How do we help people like that? It's very easy for us to say, look at my life, you should find something.
Right.
It's not that easy. Right. So I was wondering, what can we do for those kinds of people?
There's a time and place for everything. And so in that place, of emptiness, that maybe that void, that dark hole that maybe you've climbed into, that the most important thing, I think, for all of us is to remember is that we can't do this journey alone. And so it's in that place, that's where we say, hey, Tay, will you sit next to me for a little bit? I'm just not feeling too good. So it's not, we're no fixing it. We're not trying to change it. But you know what? I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in that conjoining of, you know what? This is my truth. This is where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And is it okay?
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in there, it works its way into our village.
I agree. I feel like for the first show, I think, that we did, mm-hmm. and I think I said on air that I was just finishing seeing, being with in sessions all day and being very present and loving the depth of my work and the people, and yet I knew I needed to somehow come in and see you and needed my own assistance before I proceeded to go and pick up my children, cook dinner,
and begin
that journey of my life in terms of not, you know, I still hold that space, and yet we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other. And that's what I had written down here earlier was touch and connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in these beautiful, amazing vessels, and sometimes, yeah, we have these pains and these sensations, these body sensations, and yet I know that when clients come to see me, and whether we're sitting across from each other or they're on the table, you know, if I can just even hold their head, just hold someone's head and we breathe together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times grief can just be poured out, or tears can be poured out, or the breath can deepen. And then the wave of gratitude comes. It's like there's a heaviness that's been lifted.
Mm-hmm.
And just being present with each other. We don't have to fix it. I don't have to change it. I don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We just are together.
Yeah. And so it's that need for each other, realizing that the only thing we do alone is usually born alone and die alone. And in between, we're all leaning on each other. And that whole piece of gratitude that you're talking about, LaBravin, questioning of, you know, how do we find gratitude in those dark times? And it's really becomes a practice of learning how to give gratitude to all of life. We give gratitude for the money in the bank so that my check don't bounce. And we give gratitude when I ain't got no money in the bank, 'cause then I ain't gonna spend. And so, in other words, the traditional healing, the scope, the psychology, the philosophy of traditional healing is around embracing all my relations.
All my relations.
All my relations. The highs and the lows. We're living in a modern culture that wants to stamp out the dark side. They want to put the poor children in some kind of slave camp so they can learn how to work. We're not talking about that. We're talking about showing gratitude to all my relations, all of life, so we can welcome each other in that soulful way. There is enough food here to feed our people. There's enough plant medicines to heal our people. If the FDA, AMA get out of our way, we have the resources. We have the power. We have to reclaim it through these traditional practices that have been given to us, that we've been practicing for thousands of years, that have been forgotten, that have been put on the underground, the hidden medicines. We need to bring them back.
And you know, it's very, very simple. And you know, I just speak from a woman's perspective, is that you know, I was blessed to have a mother that would give me oral tradition. She never read from a book. My father did that, and that was beautiful. But I was given oral tradition, the stories. And not all the stories were light and fluffy. These were deep, deep stories. So part of a traditional healer's journey, and whoever's listening, you can begin right now. What is your story? Even if you don't know your grandmother or your great-grandmother, you begin it now for the next seven generations as women. And I, you know, you may be exhausted from working two jobs. You may be doing it all, but even if it's 3 minutes before your children go to sleep, and even if you just place your hand on their back and you breathe with them, and kiss their cheek goodnight, and give them a little bit. And that's that will, that ability to respond, responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I pray for that, because I don't always have it. Mm-hmm. And I've been trained. I've been somehow I've been given these gifts of training, and I forget. But in the forgetting, there's that humility that we are in human beings, mm-hmm. and then we can begin again. Mm-hmm. And in this modern day culture, there's this sense of it has to look good, and mm-hmm. everything has to, you know, the teeth, everything, mm-hmm. you know, no lines, no yellow teeth, no crooked teeth, no nothing, right? So here we are, Beauty Way, misstitches and all.
Hi, huh? Yeah.
I did want to ask a little bit about the flip side of all that. Mm-hmm. We have always taught our children to come to us when they're in need, when they're lonely, yeah. they're in trouble. How can we teach our children that it's as important to be there for somebody else?
How to give. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably the best question of the evening.
So I guess there's no answer, but I would like to encourage our listeners to also teach their children to give as well as to receive.
I believe that as we raise our children, that we educate them, we teach them, that happiness is found in the giving. Mm-hmm. That it's in the giving that you're going to find your place here. And you can also learn how to receive, because that's the flip side of giving, is receiving. It's not taking, it's receiving. But how to give of yourself. Because we are definitely living in a very nihilistic, narcissistic society, meaning self-obsessed.
Yes, that's why.
And so our children, mm-hmm. That's what they get. That's on the mat. So how do they learn giving mm-hmm. through you giving?
Well, I feel that we need to, at a certain age, create that container as parents, and it takes will forces to plan how are they going to give. You know, this Christmas Eve, the boys will be going up to Santa Rosa and be supporting food preparation and, you know, they're at the age where they have to be doing that in that way. And many of the schools actually have that in place at this time where there's a sense of doing something and giving. it's part of our culture. It's entitled. We live in the Bay Area, and even if there's that sense of not having enough, I think parents tend to give to their children in a way, in that consumer mm-hmm. type way.
Yeah, I'm just sensing that whole concept of giving, there somehow it's tied into a demand. And
versus a natural
yes.
human
response
because we
yes.
want to.
And so my sense of that is that we as adults, the slaves that so many of us are, economic slaves, modern day slaves, that we're living in such a state of stress and tension that usually when we say to our kids, "You're selfish. How come you're not doing that?" We're not coming from that place of setting an example for them. And so I say that the best way to teach our children mm-hmm. is how we live our lives. And so if you're worried about where our children are going, mm-hmm. well, then we as adults have to come together and say, what is it that we've taught them? Something's awry. Mm-hmm. And so it's not the children that are the problem. It's those of us who are the adults, mm-hmm. our claim to be adults. I truly believe that most people are just maybe older in age but haven't truly become adults yet. There's a lot of lack of maturity, what I'm seeing out here in mm-hmm. this world. Mm-hmm. And so then we go, well, what does maturity mean? I think Bruce coins it quite well in his opening prayer. And how many of us can embrace that? Where have any of us even heard those teachings? Mm-hmm. This is what mm-hmm. an elder looks like. Mm-hmm. And so again, it goes back to how do we teach our children? We clean up our act.
Absolutely.
We give them a world
that there's a future, there's a possibility of survival. Mm-hmm. We give them a world of abundance. We give them a world that sees them, loves them, holds them, and also holds them accountable.
Right. There's that sense of discipline and the sense of, you know, this morning it's like in our household, there is wood that needs to be chopped or the house will not be warm. That's just how we happen to be living.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so that's part of what they have to do, and they know that that won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that certain things need to happen because we live as a unit, and it just mm-hmm. won't function. I won't be able to be present with them if they're not unloading the dishes, if they're mm-hmm. not loading up the dishes, if they're not helping out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that ability to respond, and then also that we live in a small community and everyone knows each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that you need to pick up 7 pieces of trash before you start basketball practice or mm-hmm. before you begin something, because mm-hmm. you want to keep this beautiful West Marin that we live in, that we are privileged to live in.
Mm-hmm. And so as we're coming to the end here, I want to give a prayer of thankfulness. I want to say a big thank you to my 2 daughters, Suska and Kasia, and to all my grandchildren. I want to give a big aloha to my mother, who's still here with us, and my father, who's on the other side and now an ancestor. I want to say a big aloha to my older brother, who passed away here a couple months ago. That you're in my heart, and I want to thank life for all that it gives and all that it takes, because it does both. And I want all of you out there to see if you can't find some way in saying that big aloha, that big thank you for some of those things that are in your life today. And if nothing else, thank life itself for the few moments that we're here. And if you can't see the big things, then see if you can find the small things, because that's where I found it. It's in those small things.
Mm-hmm. And when you don't feel like being thankful or even gratitude, it's like you pray for the willingness to be.
Mm-hmm.
Please help me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that sense of
mm-hmm.
of invocation or
yes.
prayer, of asking for it when you don't feel it.
Yes, and that somewhere in that place that you're talking about, Taya, it's what I say to a lot of people and to myself is I pray for understanding. Because when I understand it, then there's a reason. There's something in there for me. I believe life is a teacher. This is a learning experience from
Absolutely.
The time you're born until the time you leave. This is a learning experience. There's no age limit. My grandchildren are teaching me. I'm teaching them, you know, aloha, gratitude, much love.
Blessings.
It's now the end of our time together, and it's always been wonderful. It's always been very enlightening, and I do have thoughts and wisdom to take home with me tonight. And before we close, I wanted to say a few things. I wanted to remind people that 29th is the anniversary of the massacre at Wounded Knee in 1890. And the pain and the loss is still here. Mm-hmm. People still remember. People still know that they've lost relatives mm-hmm. and things. So I wanted people to remember that. And also I wanted to say happy birthday to Tonali. He was actually born Ooh. 1 year when we were doing our show. And it was Huichli Pochli's birthday, and he yeah. was born while the show was on. And that was yeah. one of the most memorable shows.
Mm-hmm.
We will be bringing more of this kind of programming, but before you tell us a little bit about the next show, do you have any last words to maybe just wrap up this year with? It's been a real difficult year for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank the Creator for each day that I've been able to walk this walk. I want to thank the Creator, those above me, those behind me, those known and unknown, for helping me get my life more in order, help me become that better man that I was born to be. I want to give a big thank you to the challenges, the teachings that have hit me this year. And each challenge I know is an initiation into another level of awareness. And so I want to say a big thank you to all that has come my way. And I'm looking forward to the next wave that's coming this new year, because it's going to be a good one.
Thank you, everybody. So our next program will be March the 30th. And also, people who are interested in getting to know more about David and the work he does, you can go to Living Medicine's Traditional Healing Center, and that's 85 Bolinas Road, number 7 in Fairfax, California. And also, we have a phone number here, 415-317-7032. I want to thank everybody, our sponsors and our supporters. I want to thank Dennis Banks, of course, and all those walking for freedom and justice for Leonard Peltier. I want to thank Marshall for the beautiful music that came from your heart into our heart. We want to thank shopnaturallystoked.com. It's an online emporium for all things meaty. And then Runka.com, an online green company offering eco-friendly products and by companies that use fair trade practices. And, of course, Model Mechanics, foreign and domestic automotive tune-ups and repair. Thea, would you like to let our listeners know how they can contact you and find out more about the work you do?
Sure. You can contact me if you have any questions at all about the work that I do at TeyaValentina.com, TeyaValentina.com. Blessings and Happy New Year.
Thank you all very, very much. And we're going to bring it back to Gavilan. I want to thank our engineers. Thank Mr. Chuch. And I want to thank my Chaskay for being there today. So, Gavilan, back to you.
Thank you so much, Abrava. And thank you, David. Thank you, Tay. And thank you, Marshall. And I'd like to take a minute here to also thank our engineer tonight, Mr. Chuch, and also Gabriel for being here with us, and all you traditional healers involved with the forum from the Four Corners. Thank you, and also thank Bruce Elijah for opening up with blessing and prayer. And again, if you want more information, you can check out the site with David Kukula. Again, the number is 415-317-7032, or you can go to the online site at dksami@mac.com. Thank you so much. You've been listening to La Onda Bajita's feature presentation tonight of a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. Thank you again, Mr. Chuch, and everyone listening tonight for your support, and we'll be back here in the new year, 2012, in the month of March.